and instruction. This is a father talking to his son. It's a father instructing his son. For the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he'll not depart from it. He says in verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. And we have only those few years. We have only those few years to help them, you know. And then as they get older and they become adults, you know, we have an example and we have advice if they ask for it, but our roles change. And God help us. God help those in here. And my prayers are with you who still have young children. But Solomon says this to his son. He says, the fear of the Lord. Look at Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. And we won't be turning too many places this morning, but we will turn to a few places. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. He says again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. And both of these verses are in the context of learning, the accumulation of knowledge and acquiring those things that are fundamental to learning in life. Because he says in verse 9, give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. And so this morning I would like to speak for a few minutes on the fear of the Lord. On the fear of the Lord. And we must remember that the fear of the Lord is the fear of the Lord. It is a fear. It is a type of fear. And there's much misunderstanding about what it is and what it is not. We will speak of that. I remember reading a story about Teddy Roosevelt when he was a boy and grew up there in New York City. And his mother said that he was deathly afraid of Madison Square Church. And he would not go in there he would never go in there alone as a young man. And his mother said, why won't you go in there alone? What are you so afraid of? He says, I'm afraid of the zeal. I'm afraid of the zeal. The zeal. Oh yeah, he hides in the corners. He's in that church. And if I'm not careful, he might jump out and eat me. And I'm scared of the zeal. They couldn't figure that out for the longest time. And then when he told her, he said, well, I read about it in the Bible. She's like, read about it in the Bible? What are you talking about? And then finally, one day she's reading in John chapter 2, and she found the verse where the Lord says, John 2:17, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. That little boy heard that verse in Sunday school and thought about the zeal eating him up. You know, that's a boy that took the Bible literally, you see. But we know that there's no zeal hiding in the house of God, although zeal can and should eat the Christian up, and that's why I think some are afraid of it. But there is a real fear of the Lord, and the Bible speaks much of the fear of the Lord. And I want you to take your Bible and turn to Psalms chapter 34. Psalms chapter 34. Psalms chapter 34, and we're going to read a few verses here, but let's first have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Would you bless it now as you have and will? Would you fill me? Would you be with those who are seated here today and be with those that can't be here? Bless those that are. Bless the word of God to their ears, heart, soul, and mind. And may we learn something that will draw us closer to you and give us a greater vision of you. In the name of our Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen. And Psalms chapter 34 and verse 11, he says this, come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Now, it wouldn't be difficult to imagine what the fear of the Lord would be like if you have a familiarity with the Old Testament, if you could read through Genesis 19, where God rained down fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed cities because of their wickedness. If you could read how God allowed his people, the children of Israel, to be led into captivity because of them forsaking the law. If you think of God raining down hailstones of fire in the book of Joshua. If we see a man that was stoned for and killed for presumptuously defiling the Sabbath. If you remember when the law was given, how the Mount Sinai was covered with a thick black smoke, the people were afraid. They were afraid. And God is to be feared. He is to be feared. But David says in Psalm 34, he says, "Come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord." And so he teaches us what the fear of the Lord is. And yes, there is that element. There's that element of God as a consuming fire. And in other places in the Bible, it seems to be more associated with reverence and respect. And some people will relegate it only to that, right? But we don't have to guess at what the fear of the Lord is, because the psalmist says, "Come here and I'll teach you what the fear of the Lord is." And so we can allow the Bible to define the fear of the Lord. If you look at Psalms 34 and verse 1, he says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." The fear of the Lord is an attitude of reverence. There's no doubt about that. He says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt the Lord together." Right? God is to be revered. He is to be respected. He is to be held high. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. He is not like us men. He is not like us mortals. He is high, and he is great, and he is mighty, and he is powerful, and he has to be revered. He is to be respected. He is not to be taken lightly. The Lord says in Leviticus 19:30, he says, "Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary." What's he mean? He means hold it in high regard, respect it, pay attention to it. This is not something that you should take lightly. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, he says, "Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." And I feel like this is one of the big problems as a whole in evangelical Christianity today, is that there is such a familiarity and such a buddy-buddy and such an effort to make God and Jesus acceptable and even cool and even trendy, that we have lost all reverence. We have lost all reverence. And we are not to do that. He is still God. He is God. And he is to be respected. And we are not to take his name in vain. We are not to lightly say, "God, help us." We are not to lightly say, "Oh, Lord, help me." We are not to lightly say, "Oh, my God," or "Oh, my Lord," or "God and then damn," right? Or hit your thumb with a hammer and then say that name which is above every other name, Jesus, and then Christ. We are to be careful about that. His name is to be expected. I mean, even some of the ways that evangelicals lightly talk about Jesus, "Just give me coffee and my Jesus." You know, what do you think he is? You think he's your buddy in the locker room, right? You guys go by, slap each other's rear end. Is that what he is to you? He's God Almighty. And I get that we are close to him, right? But there is still a line there, just like with your parents, just like with your boss, right, that you do not cross. Amen. There's a familiarity. We love our parents, but there's a familiarity with them that we don't have. There's some things that we don't just say to them. Amen. Amen. There's a way to behave and there's a way to act. And he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Lift up his name. Reverence his name. His name is above all name. The Bible says about Jesus Christ, God hath given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, we need to have a come to Jesus moment. Oh, help me, Jesus, right? And you know, that's funny. They always use that term. They always just use one of his three names, right? Jesus is the name of a man. There's other people in the Bible named Jesus, by the way. You know what the New Testament, you know what the Old Testament name for Jesus is? Joshua, right? And I'm not saying, listen, the Bible calls him Jesus, but make no mistake about it. Right? He is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord, which means he's God Almighty. He's ruler. He's, you know what Lord means? It means the boss. Amen, amen. And of course, he's a man. He became flesh and dwelt among us. He is Jesus, and it's a wonderful name. And we are to exalt it. And Christ, of course, means the Messiah, the promised one. The one approved of God. And Paul often uses that title, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we ought to just be careful. We ought to be careful. And I want you to look at verse 4. He says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. It's not only an attitude of reverence, but it's an appreciation of redemption. Right? Wow, look what he did for me. Look what he did for me. He saved my soul from hell. I was bound for a devil's hell. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. I've been justified freely. Amen. Through his grace. It's a gift. It's a wonderful gift. It's a beautiful gift. It's a gracious gift. And it's an appreciation, right? Only a haughty man, only a proud man would take a gift like that from an eternal God, from a great and mighty God, and just say, you know what that is? That's a lack of respect. That's a lack of respect. Appreciation of redemption. Right, because you have the right view of yourself and the right view of him. And I want you to look what he says here in verse 2. He says, my soul shall make her voice in the Lord, boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. He says again in verse 11, come ye children, hearken unto me. Come, kids, gather around. Come on and sit down. Sit down and pay attention, right? Come ye children. He says that except we become as little children, right, we don't enter into the kingdom of heaven, right? And so there's a respect for authority. There's a respect for authority. The fear of God, the fear of God is defined as a respect for authority, all authority. All authority. You know what that Bible says? It says the powers that be are ordained of God. There is no power but of God. Whoso resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. That means that God sets up government for us to respect. And when we resist that government, we're resisting God. He says, wilt thou not be what of the power? Afraid of the power, right? So we submit, not because they're righteous, but we submit as unto the Lord. We do it for the Lord, right? What does the Bible say? Children, obey your parents, what? In the Lord, for this is right. Parents aren't perfect, but if you're a child, you should listen to them. You should obey them, for this is right. In fact, the fifth commandment, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And one of the indicators of the last days that is mentioned in Scripture more than once is in the last days they'll be disobedient to parents. And God Almighty doesn't like it. He frowns upon it. It displeases him because God sets up systems of authority, right? Ephesians 5:21, speaking of the church and also of the home, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Come on, children, and sit down. Why? Because I'm the teacher and you're the kid. So sit down. And God put me in this position and God put you kids in this position, right? And I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I want you to go back here. Well, you are. You're in Psalms 34. In verse 6, he says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Look what he says in verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto all, unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite, a broken spirit. It's an acceptance of rank. It's an acceptance of rank. It's an acceptance of place. Amen. Right? I don't get to tell the Lord what to do. I don't get to backtalk him. What did Job say? The most righteous man in the Old Testament. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord, and shall we not receive evil? Yet how quickly we as Christians throw up our hand over just a flat tire. Or someone said something bad about us online and say, why me, God? When a man who lost his kids and all of his wealth in one day, and then his body was sick and sore with boils, and he said, I'm not going to curse God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth and the Lord. I know that most of us aren't. We're not to that level. I understand. But, man, we can work our way toward that. Right? An acceptance of our place. In other words, what? In other words, you get to choose what to do with me because you're the boss. And I submit to you, Father, because you know best. And I'm not to question your will and your way and your word. Come and I will teach you the fear of the Lord, he says. Right? Now look what he says here again in verse 15. He says this, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. You know what that book says? It says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, what? What is the fear of the Lord? It's an action from recognition. Right? This is the fear of the Lord. Right? God is watching. In fact, the Bible says, the darkness is as light to thee. Right? There's nothing God doesn't know. There's nothing God doesn't see. Right? If I were going to meme the fear of the Lord, this is what it would be like. Okay. If I was going to meme the fear of the Lord, this is what it would be like. That's the fear of the Lord. He's watching. The eyes of the Lord are upon us. The eyes of the Lord. And it's an awareness of his presence. It's an awareness that he is watching what we are doing. And it's in a constant awareness. It's a constant awareness of that. You see? And it influences our actions. God is watching. Now look, we have to be taught that. The fear of the Lord is learned. The fear of the Lord, we have to be taught that. Why? Because all we like sheep have gone astray. Right? Because we are born from the womb, we go forth from the womb speaking lies. Right? And we are naturally as brute beasts that don't look up and think that there is a God that sees. Right? And listen, it's an awareness of recompense and reward. Look what he says here in verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, all ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. All right, you know what David says? He says, look, there's no want. God will take care of the needs of those who fear him and who trust him. Right? There's an awareness that God will reward good behavior, but also bad behavior. Look what he says. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. He says in verse 12, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart, you. God doesn't care what I say. Yes, he does. Verse 14, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Not only does God care about what we say, he cares about our motives. He cares about why we do what we do. He says you're to seek peace and pursue it. You're to pursue things that God loves and that God cares about. And he says in verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. This is where both the joy in the fear of the Lord and the trembling from the fear of the Lord come in. This is why Paul says that I serve him with joy, but I also serve him with fear and trembling. Why? Because God will reward and God will recompense, because God is a righteous judge. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. They that sow to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, we don't think about it. And a brute, an animal, goes about his day and doesn't consider that God will hold him or her accountable for their behavior. And not only for their behavior, but the thoughts and the intents of their hearts. Fear and trembling. There's an old story about a king in Hungary many years ago, and he was bored and he was depressed and he was concerned about his life, and he called his brother in to talk to him, and they were hanging out talking, and he said, I don't know with what's going on. I'm worried about my sins and I'm worried about the judgment of God. And his brother just looked at him and just chuckled and said, come on, that pie in the sky stuff. And his brother decided to play a joke on him. And in those days, in that old kingdom, they'd come to your house and they'd blow a certain trumpet in a certain way, and that was the king's executioner squad that had come to for whatever capital crimes you may or may not have been accused of. They'd come, they'd blow that trumpet, and they'd haul you off. And so early in the morning, he sent his boys over to his brother's house, and they stood outside his door, and they blew that trumpet. and they went and put him in shackles and brought him before the king. And, of course, he's, you know, messing himself and crying and all this. And his brother just looked at him and said, you're afraid of me, your brother? And you're not afraid of God, who made heaven and earth? Who made heaven and hell? Let me ask you a question. When you go to the Bible to study, to excuse your behavior and your lack of commitment, do you do that in the fear of God, or is it real? I want to just know the truth. I studied the Bible, and the Bible doesn't teach church membership, and it has nothing to do with me not wanting to commit. It just has to do with I just want to be right. You know, I did a Bible study, and I found out that I don't think I need to tithe and give to missions. And it was an honest search for truth, because, I mean, I'm telling you, if that study would have gone the other way, I definitely would be given to missions. But, yeah. Was that a study in covetousness, or was that a study in the fear of God? Was there an attitude of looking at the scriptures and saying, how may I please you? Or was that an attitude of what can I get away with? Right? Reverence. Reverence. Why? Because there's recompense and there's reward. And the Bible says about our God that he is a father, but he's also a consuming fire. He's a consuming fire. This is where the trembling comes in. And we ought to fear that. And the best way, really, the best way that we can describe that in terms that we would understand is a healthy relationship between a child and a father. Right? When my dad was around, I wasn't like this. Never. Right? No. But I was aware that he was around. Anybody, you have a dad that, you know, was a man? Right? You know what I'm talking about? And, you know, I knew he was there. And you know, I behaved a little better when he was around. And when mom said, wait till your dad gets home, I was like, I'll take my punishment now, please. Right? My dad knew how to deal with boys. He did. Dads know how to deal with boys. Amen. Dads know how to deal with boys. Why? Because they are one. Right? And boys wrap mom around their finger sometimes. So sometimes dad knows what that sucker's up to and he comes down on him, right? You know? And you should stay out of the way and let him handle it, or else you'll ruin that kid. And I'll tell you this, God Almighty, listen, you know what the Bible says about God Almighty? That whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth everyone whom he receiveth. Now listen, I never thought that my dad would kill me, all right? But I dreaded the chastening. And when I did wrong, right, there was a fear and trembling for judgment. On the other hand, I also looked forward to and appreciated him saying, man, that was a good job. I loved when he came home and he told me to mow the lawn, and I did, and I did it to the best of my ability. And he said, good job. Let's go get ice cream. Right? Recompense and reward. Right? And that's how we understand the fear of the Lord, that we fear judgment and we fear chastisement. But when we're doing right, there's nothing to be afraid of. Amen. As in, I'm not afraid of judgment. Right? So that's another way that we understand the fear of the Lord, that there is recompense and reward. And listen, even as a child of God, you can never go to hell, but you can lose rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. You can break fellowship with the Father and with the Savior. And these things, we should fear that. Paul was among the Corinthians with fear and trembling. He was afraid that God wouldn't use him. That's a good thing to fear. We're not to be controlled by that fear, but we should be aware, right? We should be aware that our actions and our attitude can put us in a place where God cannot use us for his glory, and we should value that. That should be important to us. The fear of the Lord. Now, go back here to Proverbs. Are you with me this morning? Go back here to Proverbs. Go back here to Proverbs and look what he says here in verse chapter 1, verse 3. He says this, so the fear of the Lord needs to be learned. And secondly, the fear of the Lord is fundamental. It's fundamental. Proverbs 1, 3. The fear of the Lord is the what? Verse 7, Proverbs 1, 7. The fear of the Lord is the what? The beginning. Okay, so you don't learn algebra before you learn addition. Right? The aging ape was out of shape because he ate and ate and ate long A. Right? Amen. You don't start with Shakespeare. There's fundamentals. And you know what the fundamental is for your relationship with God? It's fear. It's Bible fear. You can't get saved without some fear of the Lord. Respect for his judgment. Amen. Right? That you're a sinner and you're under the condemnation of God. Without that fear, how can you appreciate or even respect the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ? No, you're just picking up another, well, you know what, just in case. I'll pray that prayer too. No, it's fundamental. That's why the Bible says about the destruction of civilizations and the devolution of society, that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. Right? It started out with an eroding of the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is fundamental to any relationship with God. Any relationship with authority has to start with respect. That's the problem in this country, is we don't teach any respect. Right? And one great man said this. He said, first learn respect, then learn letters. He says, if you learn letters without respect, you've just educated a rebel. You've just created a bigger problem. Right? Respect. The fear. Come, children, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is fundamental. And you know what the Bible says in Proverbs 14:7? It says, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. That foolish man, that man who doesn't fear God, his knowledge is going to be twisted. It's going to be skewed. He's not going to have, he doesn't start with an appreciation and an understanding of his place, of how he should be humble. And he doesn't accept what he gets from God because he doesn't see God the way he should see him. So when God passes down his word, when God passes down his judgment, when God says this is the way you are to be, that man doesn't accept that because he doesn't respect God. And he will not learn. He cannot learn. The fear of the Lord is fundamental to learning. You first must learn respect. It's the beginning of wisdom. I think we don't get this sometimes. We don't get this in society, that is where you start. That's where you start. You can't get saved without the fear of the Lord. You can't appreciate the judgment seat of Christ without the fear of the Lord. You cannot have the reverence for the Bible, for his word, and for his commandments without the fear of the Lord. Listen, you cannot sit still and be taught without interrupting without the fear of the Lord. Right? Most of us now, I mean, we've almost trained our mind to be thinking of our response before we even listen to what the other person has to say, right? And here's the deal. If you don't have the fear of the Lord, there's nothing else that can be done for you. Amen. And you know what we have in our country? We have a bunch of Christians, born again Christians, that love Jesus, are going to heaven when they die and want to serve him. But there is something wrong fundamentally with their Christian character because the fear of the Lord was skipped in their education. Amen, amen, right? They didn't learn it at school, right? The principal said, quit acting that way. Mom came in and said, I'm on the PTA and you better get in line. My baby can do what he wants. Right? And then you went home, right? And dad was working and mom wore the pants and you got away with murder. Not everybody, but some people, right? And people are appeased. Well, Johnny can't sit still in church. I guess we won't go now. That kind of stuff, right? That people are never taught. No, you have a place. This is how you behave. This is how you address an elder. Amen. This is how you behave in church. This is how you talk to your parents. Amen. And if you don't have that, there's nothing else that person can be taught. And we have this. It's everywhere. And it's in our churches, right? There's a lack of respect. There's a who are you to tell me, right? And it's a disease in American society. We do not have the fear of the Lord. And it's fundamental. I hope you're with me this morning. Right? And we have to get the right idea of what this is. It's not this Old Testament church thundering down on you, scaring you with hell every Sunday, saying that God's going to break your leg if you don't listen to me. We understand that that's an abuse. We understand that that is wrong. But listen, God is on high, and God expects us to behave appropriately. And there are things that he doesn't think is funny. Yeah. And so I think it's something to consider. It's fundamental, and in the way we deal with others, and in the way we deal with his truth, there needs to be a reverence, and it's not to be lightly put aside. And we ought not lightly esteem his institutions. Marriage is not to be lightly esteemed. You know what kept people in this country together and married even when they were sleeping in separate bedrooms and hating each other? Fear of the Lord. And then, you know, and since the 60s, you know, and the 50s, the psychologists have told us it's actually better for the kids if you're happy. And if you're happier apart, then split up. Because you have an unhealthy environment where they're not getting a true picture of love. And yes, it's not ideal when mom and dad aren't getting along. But you know what's worse? Having a dad or a mom half the time. That's what's worse, and it has hurt our society so much. And you have young men that they'll hear a guy like me talk straight, and there's something in them that just goes, yeah. Why? Because they hate father figures because their dad, they feel like their dad abandoned them. I've dealt with that so much. There's just this inner rebellion to authority because authority in their life has let them down. You got kids that hate their mom. Parents get divorced, and then they talk about their spouse to their kids. You know how foolish that is? To run down your kid's dad or mom. Listen, every kid knows his dad or his mom's failures, and they still love him, and they don't want to hear you say anything bad about him. Even if they're a drunk or a druggie, right? But stupid, selfish, heady Americans that are dramatic about everybody and have to get everyone on their side will live with the person for 15 or 20 years and they get on social media and throw them under the bus. That is awful. Just shut your mouth, right? Go cry to your psychiatrist and don't embarrass your kids. I'm not saying anybody's doing that here, but it's just an illustration. Amen. What? I wonder what God thinks of this. I wonder if this is honoring to him. I wonder what he says about this. I guess I'll modify my behavior. Amen, amen, amen. Help us. God, help us. No fear of the Lord. And I will tell you this, that a lot of people have done the right thing even when they didn't feel like it. And the right thing is always the right thing. And it's not right because it's easy. It's right because it's right. Amen. You know why Catholics have a lower divorce rate than evangelicals? It's not because they're saved. It's because they don't believe in it. But you go into these flaky, NIV reading, social drinking, wife swapping, whatever, Christians, right? And you sit down and you say, well, if this can work out, we'd like this to continue, you know. And you go to a Jew or a Catholic, Catholic priest is not even saved, and he says, well, you know what, divorce is wrong, and we're going to start with the assumption that we're going to fix this thing, not just if you're happy, you're going to stick together. How come they can figure that out and evangelicals can't? No fear of God, right? No fear of God. You're welcome. Now I'll show you something else. You still here? Okay. Amen. I wasn't trying to be mean. Just speaking the truth. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long lives and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find good favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways, what? Come on, look at it. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Are you seeing it? Are you seeing the recompense and the reward? Are you seeing the promise if you do right, right? And the problems if you do wrong? That's fundamental to the fear of the Lord. He says this. He says in verse 11, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Look what he says. Length of days is in her right hand. I'll tell you what, the fear of the Lord is healthy. Yeah, it is. You know, there's a lot of things you won't engage in, you won't do if you fear God. I don't think the Lord approves of this. Amen. It keeps you out of all sorts of trouble. Amen. Look what he says. And in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. and all their paths are peace. Remember that old movie, Night at the Roxbury? You know, and some guys that just can't get over, you know, they're just trying to relive the old days. You know what I'm saying? You know what the Lord's ways are? They're pleasant and they're peaceful. There is such a joy and a peace. Sitting down at the end of the day, I worked hard and I did what I thought pleased God. And I'm here with people I love that God gave me. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. There's a pleasantness to that. There's a peace to that. You don't have to constantly live in regret and guilt and condemnation when you fear the Lord. Amen. Amen. Listen, if dad was at work and I threw my little brother through the screen door, you know the rest of that day, you know what I'm doing? Trembling. It's not a good day. I'm going into the room and I'm putting extra pairs of underwear and sweatpants on under my jeans. You know, for that accidental miss below the cheeks. You know, it's called the you little stinker miss. That's what it's called. It's called you need one that stings. But you know when you do right? There's a joy. There's a satisfaction. Hey, good job. Way to be. Good hustle. Thanks for, you know, I always used to when I would leave, you know, if I'd go somewhere and go preach a meeting or something, I'd leave. I'd look at Bridger and I would say, okay, take care of your mother. Right? I mean, he's 9 years old. He's 9 years old. Okay. Right? A boy needs that. A boy needs to know, hey, you, listen, this is how you behave, right? And you'll be respected for behaving that way. And that's in every child to want that respect and that affirmation from older people. Amen. That needs to be encouraged, right? We need to be careful. We need to praise when people achieve and when people do right, not just chew out when people do wrong. Amen. Amen. Right? But there's a peace in knowing that you did the right thing. Look what he says. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. Happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul, and grace to thy neck. Then thou shalt walk in the way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be what? Oh, what price? What price, sweet sleep? It's priceless. It's priceless to lay your head in your pillow at night and not feel bad about everything. That's worth $1 million. You better believe it is. Man, those people that can't sleep, God help them. It tears them to pieces. And I feel real bad for them. It says in verse 26, for the Lord shall be thy confidence. He shall keep thy foot from being taken. Well, I'll tell you, we won't be afraid. You know what David says? He says, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. The Bible says that the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe, right? We fear men so much because we fear God so little. We fear God so little. In Proverbs 14:27, he says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. What the fear of the Lord is? The fear of the Lord must be learned. The fear of the Lord is fundamental, right? And the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. It's a fountain of life. to depart from the snares of death. The Lord says in Isaiah 8:3, sanctify the Lord God. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. It's a fountain of life. There's two things about that fountain of life. There's protection and profit. There's protection. That fountain of life, it inoculates you, right? Keeps you healthy against sickness and disease, but there's also profit in that fountain of life. It feeds you and it nourishes you and it hydrates you. And the fear of the Lord is both protection and profit. It's protection because it establishes parameters. And everybody needs boundaries, right? There's protection, right? This is where safety is. Safety is in obedience. Safety is in submission, right? If you stay here, I can keep you safe. I cannot promise you what will happen when you go outside of here. Amen. Cannot promise you that. Right? We ought not to play, you know, we ought not to roll the dice on that stuff. There's protection in the fountain of life. It's a fountain of life. There's health and there's safety in fearing the Lord and letting that influence our behavior and our actions. But there's also profit. Profit, because not only does the fear of the Lord encompass safety and surround safety, right? But also within the fear of the Lord, there are profitable things. There's provision there. There are healthy things. Because God does not just tell us what not to do. He gives us things to do. You know what he says? He says, cease from evil, learn to do well. And God does not just take things away from us. He gives us something. That's part of not only in the home and at work, but also in a church, right? Some of the reason people have a problem getting over some things is they've never replaced it with what God has provided for them, right? I have told you that this is not healthy for you, but I have also provided this which is healthy for you. There's provision in the fear of the Lord. You know, Brother Tanner, I was texting my buddy the other day. He's on the plane, and now you have Wi-Fi on the plane. So I texted him. He's on his way to California, and I was texting him because the only golf tournament I watch, and I don't watch all of it, but is the Masters, because I love that golf course. It is just beautiful. Every shot is just, everything's blooming right now in April. It's just a beautiful. And so I was watching pieces of it, and I was texting my friends that golf, because I don't really golf. I golf once a year. I get upset, and that's about that. And he was, you know, and he lives in Lewiston, Idaho, and they have better weather there, so the golf courses are open most of the year, and so the greens fees are way lower, so he can afford to golf a little bit. And I said, he says, man, I'd love if you would golf because I'd like to golf with you, David. And I said, you know, I just texted him back and I said, well, these are my hobbies. And this is why, right, on a pastor's salary, I will never add golf to it, you know. And probably couldn't anyways because I don't have the time. But, I sent him the list of what I like to do. And you know what I found? I found that there are just a lot of good, clean things to do in this life that you don't have to feel bad about. I'm not saying we should do those things to the detriment of what the Lord has told us to do. You know, reading your Bible and witnessing and all those kind of things. But you know what? I don't feel bad after a day of fishing. You know, I doubt you feel guilty and sinful after taking that snowmobile up in the woods, right? It's only wrong when you should be doing something else. Right now, if you're a dad and you've got kids at home and you're playing every weekend and mom's stuck with the kids every single, well, that would be, whatever you're doing would be wrong. We get that, right? Right? But you know how many things a Christian is allowed to do that are not wrong? The Bible says he gives us richly all things to enjoy. And we have liberty in Christ. Amen? We don't have a big stack of rules. You know, we don't, you know, forbid this food or that drink. That's not what we do. We belong to Jesus Christ. He's our master, right? He oversees us. Hallelujah. He lives with us and he's in our hearts. He's in our lives. He's in his word. Hallelujah. And there's a lot of great things in this life that we can enjoy. We can enjoy. There's profit. Beyond the things that he has commanded us to do, in which there's great profit. Because when the Lord asks us to do something for him, whether it's in the area of our witness or ministering to others within the church or our giving or whatever it is, when the Lord asks us to do something, let's not fool ourselves. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whoso giveth to the poor lendeth to the Lord, and that which he hath given will he repay again. And if God says that he will reward us for things that he asks us to do, be assured that he will. Be assured that he will. There's protection and there's profit. You know, Chronicles of Narnia, you got most, some of you have read them. If you haven't, you've seen the movies. Right? Susan and Lucy are getting ready to meet Aslan the lion. And, you know, in his world, he represents Christ. And two talking animals, Mr. and Mrs. Beaver, they prepare children for the encounter. And they're saying, okay, you're going to meet Aslan. And Susan, ooh, said Susan, I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. Mrs. Beaver says, that you will, dearie. And make no mistake, if there's anyone who can appear before Aslan without their knees knocking, they're either braver than most or just silly. Then isn't he safe? Said Lucy. Safe? Said Mr. Beaver. Don't you hear what Mrs. Beaver tells you? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. Don't ever assume that God, in his power, right, is completely safe for those who don't fear him. But just remember that he is righteous and he is good. Yes. And he will never do you wrong. And he will never do that which is not right. And he is a rewarder and a respecter of them who respect him. He's good. He's good. It's fundamental to his character. The fear of the Lord. Come, ye children, he says, and I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. Let's bow our heads for prayer.